Well, welcome. Welcome to St. Andrew's Presbyterian. Welcome to our Good Friday service. We're glad you've taken the time to pause and to remember Jesus suffering for us and for the world. Just a few announcements before we begin. There is a children's bulletin. If there's extras, adults are welcome too. But if you need something to occupy your kids, you're welcome to grab one. We are practicing communion by intinction, so that's something relatively new here at St. Andrew's. And what's going to happen is when we sing the communion hymn, Charlene's going to lead with the solo after she's finished, and everyone's invited to sing to join in. You're invited one by one to come forward. The elders will be there and to tear off a piece of bread, to dip it in the cup, and to receive it in that manner. And then following communion, you're invited to exit quietly. There's no fellowship time after the service, but we invite you to join us, of course, Sunday morning as we celebrate the resurrection. Please join me in our call to worship. Together today, we gather to remember. We recognize the shadows which encroach on every life and meditate on that one moment in history when the shadows seem to extinguish the light. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are stunned at your passion and your commitment toward us. You did not run from the darkness. You did not hide from your accusers. You did not fade into safe obscurity. No, you stepped with determination into the darkness, willingly giving yourself to whip and fist, to wood and nails. We praise you, gracious Savior, for what you were prepared to endure to reconcile us with God. We praise you, loving Lord, for your words of forgiveness and your invitation to paradise. Forgive us for becoming too familiar with this story, for taking your suffering too lightly, for receiving your grace too cheaply. As we watch with you, as the shadows descend, help us to recognize what this journey means and count again the cost of your love. For we ask this in your powerful and holy name. Amen.
I don't know when it happened, but things changed somehow. At first, he was strong, confident, outspoken. I had such high hopes. Finally, a leader to throw off the Romans. But just when the time was right, at the height of his popularity, he withdrew. He became quiet, almost introspective. I thought a bit of a push would help him reach for greatness. You know, pass on a bit of information about his movements and make a little bit on the side for me, and watch him rise to victory when they came for him. Only it didn't work out like that. He let them take him. "You'll betray me, Judas," he said. I wonder how he knew. I thought I'd been discreet. But I didn't expect it to turn out the way it did. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Such a unique boy, my nephew, cousin to my sons, James and John, but more of a friend to them, really, and to me. He was always caring, always serving, always putting others first. I remember when I asked him if my boys could sit on thrones with him in his kingdom, one on his left and one on his right. "Salome," he said to me, "the great ones in God's kingdom are the ones who serve. Even I have come to serve and to lay down my life." I felt rather humbled that day. It's incredible that in his time of agony, praying all alone, the ones he served so well couldn't serve him in return. Not for one short hour. There they were, my sons and Peter, all asleep while Jesus cried and sweated blood. And none of the others of us were any better. Alone he prayed, "Take this cup away from me, but not my will, Father, yours be done." Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Thank you.
That was a dark night. We didn't expect those terrible things. Perhaps we should have foreseen it, prepared for it. Maybe then we would have reacted differently and stood with him through it all. But we didn't understand. So there we were, Peter, James, and me, fast asleep, oblivious to his pain. And suddenly, he's waking up, and there's Judas, and lights, and swords, and soldiers, and they're arresting Jesus. We were no match for them, and they would have taken us too. We were terrified. And so we ran away, all of us, and left him to face their swords alone. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
What was I thinking? I expected so much more from myself. Oh, at the table it was easy. When Jesus talked about being betrayed and arrested and dying, I was angry and protective. I'll fight for you. Lord, I said, I'll die for you. I thought he was just frightened and emotional when he replied, "No, Peter. Before the cock crows three times, you will deny knowing me." Deny him? I wouldn't have thought it possible. But that was then. Now I know it's true. When it finally came down to it, I couldn't fight for him. I couldn't die for him. I couldn't even answer the question, "Yes, I know him. I follow him. I believe in him." And as they led him away, he looked at me, those eyes. I expected anger and judgment, but there was only love. In his eyes, there was only ever love. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
People were curious about my devotion to Jesus, but it's easy to understand, really. I lived with accusations all my life. Adulterer, prostitute, madwoman, evil, possessed. They said it all, and more. And much of it was true. But Jesus, he didn't accuse. He didn't judge. He didn't make any demands or require anything. For the first time, someone saw past the pain and brokenness to my soul and gave me the freedom I longed for. Of course, I was devoted. Ironic that the one who accepted and included all without accusation should be forced to hear lies about himself, should stand alone and face all those pointed fingers. The one whose only crime was acceptance, sentenced to death on the force of false accusations by the ones he sought to love and heal. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Somehow, I've developed the reputation for doubt and questioning. A little unfairly, I think, but I do confess to being confused and uncertain, especially at the end. I mean, he healed the sick. He raised the dead.
The whole nation was eating out of the palm of his hand. Then, suddenly, they were shouting, "Crucify him!" With all his power, he just stood there. And then, when the soldiers mocked him, he took it all. They stripped his body, torn from the terrible flogging, and pretended to worship him as king. With a crown of hard Judean thorns, they hit him, spat on him, and pulled out his hair and beard. How was I supposed to understand this? He could have snuffed them out in a heartbeat, but he didn't. He just let them mock. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Oh. Should I have known that moment would come? There had been death threats from when he was a baby, and he'd spoken about his death more than once. Maybe I should have seen it. But nothing can prepare a mother to watch her child die. I don't know how I got through that day. My son, sentenced to crucifixion. The slowest and most painful, agonizing death. Executed with thieves. My son, who had done nothing wrong. And in the face of it all, he forgave them, forgave all of us. Then he cried out, "It is finished." And as I watched that last breath leave his body, it was like it was me dying up there. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
When the time arrived for Jesus to be lifted up, when all had been prepared, and he shared his last meal with his friends, the Lord took a loaf, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "When you eat this bread, remember me. This is my body that is broken for you." When the meal was finished, the Lord took the cup and he blessed it and gave it to his disciples with these words, "When you drink the wine, remember me. This is my blood shed for you." Now, as we gather at this table, we eat bread, we drink wine, and we remember the one who died to bring us life. And we will keep sharing this meal until he returns again. Let us pray that unison prayer together. And so, Lord Jesus, light of the world, we come to your table, confessing the darkness within us. We come simply because you are merciful, and you have filled our hearts with light. We come to eat this bread, and to drink this wine, and to be changed. Let your presence, which fills us through this meal, cast out all shadows and keep us in your light forever. Amen.